old ass trees and these big beautiful houses, and then right down the middle of it is no street. You can only park behind your house.
I give you $50. Will you go buy me a dilapidated house in a shitty neighborhood?
What are you going to do with the other $45?
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth Season 7, Episode 24. Steph is preparing for a big trip to the D. We're not talking about Dallas or Dick. We are talking about Detroit. The original D, right? The OD?
Yeah, the OD.
So you were saying before we started recording the food adventures you're going on. I want to hear about these food adventures.
Well, my sister and I, on next Wednesday, we're going to go do a little sister thing downtown. But we're going to go to the Detroit Cookie Company, which I've sent you and Jeff cookies from there.
Oh, yeah. You ruined my diet in 2020. In 2020, I'd lost all that weight on the soda diet. And
just drinking soda?
Yes, that was it. Soda water. With a little food coloring in it. No, it was this diet thing that I got endorsed back during the pandemic. But no, you sent me these six cookies, which I think weighed 17 pounds each.
Peanut butter volcanoes.
Yes, those are the best. And I thought, oh, I'm going to put these in the freezer and savor them. No, that didn't happen, of course.
They didn't even get cold, did they?
No, but that's okay. No, they didn't get cold. I just got that. Anyway, sorry, Steph, to interrupt.
No. But I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go, which I've never had Detroit Cookie Company. I've only sent it to you guys.
So you never had a peanut butter volcano?
Nope.
Oh, dude.
Out of town.
I'm going to get me one. That, and then there's a new donut place downtown called Duped Donuts, and they do donuts that have better made chips crumbled on them, and they use Faygo Red Pop icing, and it's just a complete belly ache is what it is. And then like I said, we're going to go to that little neighborhood and walk through there.
That's something.
Get you a Boston cooler.
I'm going to get a Boston cooler, Jeff, for sure. I'm going to go.
What is a Boston cooler?
It's Werner's ginger ale, vanilla ice cream, and booze.
Booze. Put some booze in it.
So
put
some booze in it.
Why is it the Detroit treat called a Boston cooler?
Jeff or Tim, I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never looked into the lore of it.
But maybe some guy from Boston moved to Detroit, said, we're going to make this fucking dessert.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I've never really actually looked into it. Now that you bring it up, why do they call it a Boston cooler? I don't know.
I have Google open, but I'm not going to look for it because it's boring to search for things when you're doing a show, isn't
it?
But
they drank on Detroiters, though.
Yes.
It's an open bar. And so they went to the bar and they ordered four Boston coolers each.
We have the coolest Detroit person. On any podcast on our show, and we can't get Tim Robinson to come on the show. That's a shame.
And Tim and I appreciate that, Tim, but Tim Robinson and I, we both follow a lot of the same stuff on Instagram, and it's all shit that only has, you know, maybe 1,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like me and Tim Robinson following this crap because, you know, he likes everything Detroit stuff.
You've written it too, right? Did he ever write back?
I've written, hell no. Yeah. He don't know he write me back. Neither. And then you guys even got Sam Richardson to cameo me. And I can't get him to write me back either. I think they just get assaulted constantly.
Of course they do.
So I'm sure every dingbat from Detroit hits them up and is like, I'm from the D too, man.
It's so cold in the D. How the fuck are we supposed to get peace?
I've been reached out to Zach. Was it Koenig? The other writer on, or the other creator of I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson.
Oh, really?
He was a writer on that, I know, with Tim. He never wrote me back either.
Well, at least we get a third season of I Think You Should Leave coming soon.
Oh, yes.
And a new show.
And what?
And their new show.
What's their new show?
Computer School or something.
Oh, that's right. You brought that up before. Hmm. Well, let's get on with the show. Brett Perkins is back as a Patreon member, and he is a producer, and he signed up at an advertising rate, but I don't know what he's going to be advertising, and I need to reach out to him.
It's for his OnlyFans.
It is.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Heard that and canceled.
Welcome back, Brett.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Brett in like, I don't even know, like 2 or 3 years. Oh, okay. I used to see Brett all the time. He was over here all the time.
We need to reach out to him and thank him for, you know, being a sponsor. And then whatever he wants to sponsor, we will take care of. Make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
you know, does he have a glory hole company? Maybe he has a company that installs glory holes, so there's some synergy. I'm just kidding. We're not going to go down that
Road. Brett, I feel like if you knew Brett's energy, the energy that he brings to anything, I feel like he would fall asleep with his junk in the glory hole. Like he would wake up in the glory hole and be like, oh, what the fuck? Where the fuck am I?
Seems the person on the other side isn't very good. What was the show recently that had that in it?
Kids in the Hall, the last world.
Yeah, that's right. And also there's I just started getting into Tom Segura, which is stupid, of course, that I shouldn't have been into him as long as he's been out, because he's very funny. He does this bit about going to a buying porn because he was older. When he was in college, he would go to the porn store and buy it for all the kids in his dorm. And he got, like, the guy at the porn store goes, you should go here, they have really good porn. He shows up and it's just a naked guy, and he goes, I'll show you the glory hole. And he goes, well, when does somebody come by? And he goes, well, I'm not here for shits and giggles.
So is it a girl or a guy over there? Yeah, did you see any other cars in the parking lot there?
Yeah, that's right. In the parking
lot. But boy, I love it when I sleep on a comic and I end up discovering him, and then I just want to keep listening to everything.
His wife is very funny too.
Who's his wife?
Christina P.
Christina P.
Christina Pajinski.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I like her.
She's.
You liked her special?
It was okay.
Come on. She's interesting.
I like the two of them together, though.
Yes, they're better together.
Fair enough, but that mom jeans, I liked her better before she was a mom.
Yeah.
She's really lost her luster. Tom, it hasn't affected Tom at all, but it's nice when you can embrace it and make it funny, but I don't feel like she does. She just rambles on about gross shit.
Yeah.
I think I can count on one hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My favorite female comics. I like Erica Rhodes. I like Maria Bamford. I like Mary Lynn Ricegoob. And then some others.
And what about Tig Notaro?
Tig Notaro, I take or leave her.
Nikki Glaser is really funny too.
Nikki Glaser is very funny.
She's the ultimate roaster. There's no female roaster that is funnier than Nikki Glaser, I don't think. She is so cutting.
Yeah.
But that's not a knock. I just I don't know a lot of new comedians.
His book is really good. It just came out yesterday. Tom Segura's new book, or his first book.
Is it on audio? Book?
Yeah, he's on audio, and he does the audio.
All right.
It's funny because he wrote the book like he would write bits and stories. So when he tells it, it comes out like a story, like a bit on stage, and it's basically big expansions of his big jokes, and the more in depth and, you know, more detail. And then he talks about his dad, which he passed recently. And if you've never heard Big Dog, his dad, he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell exactly where Tom gets all his material from.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But yeah.
Yeah. I got to finish. I'm listening to an old series of books by Jeff's favorite author, Harry Turtledove. Harry Turtledove writes alternative history and also fantasy novels. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. He might be. I don't know. He's old. But he notoriously would book himself at Dragon Con and then cancel. So I've never had a chance to meet him or get him to autograph the books. But there's a series called How Few Remain, and followed by The Great War. And it's the premise of the book is if the South had won the original Civil War, which in this series of novels is called The War of Secession, and Lincoln is still alive in the first one, and he's a socialist and nobody likes him, and they go to war again. It's called the Second Mexican War, and then it goes all the way past World War II, the whole series of books. But I read them years ago, but I didn't know that they were narrated or read by George Goodall, who read a lot of the Stephen King books, specifically the Dark Tower series, after Frank passed away.
Yeah. And ironically, he also originally read the first book, The Gunslinger.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He did that. And then Frank picked up from the second one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no better audio book narrator ever than Frank. What's his last name?
Mueller.
Yeah.
That Will Patton is pretty damn good.
Will Patton is freaking awesome.
Yeah, and I'm listening to that Skeleton Crew, And the first one was The Mist, which was Will Patton reading that one, and it was so, so good. And then the next few, they start talking, and I'm like, this is terrible. I didn't like any of those narrators. But then you get to The Wedding Gig, and it's Paul Giamatti. Oh, my God. Yeah,
Who eats his fingers?
I haven't gotten to that part yet, I don't think. But I'm just listening to The Wedding Gig now, but I could listen to Paul Giamatti. He could read the phone book. He's so just, makes everything sound interesting.
The problem with this audiobook that I'm listening to is that, of course, it's set in the South. A lot of it's set in the South. And what was the Civil War? What was the cause of the Civil War? And then you have people talking about the people. And anyway, let's just say that there's a lot of unfortunate words. So if I pull up to a drive-thru, I have to push pause.
Yeah. Wow. Or I did that a lot during the Dark Tower. Pull up to a red light and crank it down.
Yeah. Yeah, like in Office Space when he cranks down.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's weird because, you know, you've read these things and then to hear it said, especially in this era. Anyway.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's a gut punch.
Yeah. It's like, oh, geez. So anyway, thanks, Brett Perkins, for returning. if you want more of me doing interviews and podcasts or podcasts and everything, I have a show called The Popcast, which is on WSB Radio, 7 p.m. Saturday nights. It's a 1-hour show. I talk about, you know, pop culture, but lately I've been interviewing people who are doing performances. Last week I interviewed the people from Save the Movie Store, which is an experience I'd like to do up in West Cobb, the avenues.
Do they have any copies of Chud?
I am. Just kind of laugh. This week, if you want to tune in, if you're listening or watching the podcast as soon as it comes out on Saturday morning, you can listen to the show on the WSB Radio app, or of course, you know, over the air for free, or the podcast will come out Monday. This week, I have a real fun interview that I did, and I'm going to be doing a giveaway. So isn't that cool? How often do I get to do giveaways?
Yeah, what are you giving away?
Well, give me 1 second and I'll tell you what I'm giving away. Also, Greg Russ is on the show. You know, Greg Russ from the Von Hessler Doctrine. He reviews Jurassic World Dominion, and spoiler alert.
Is he misanthropic?
Nah, you know, it's completely different. He and I can riff on a bunch of stuff. So
I've heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
What does he say?
Pretty much the same. I think he gave it like 700 stars out of his base level, which is 13,360. No, this week on the podcast, are you guys familiar with Whole World Improv Theater?
Yeah,
I've never been and I really want to go. They're doing a live show at the Frederick Brown Jr. Amphitheater, which is in Peachtree City. We saw 10,000 Maniacs there. I've seen them there. It's a great little venue in the woods. It's, you know, everybody drives their golf carts around. But I interview Emily Russell, who's the managing director, and Chip Powell, who's the artistic director. And they're both actors and performers. They've been with the troupe a long time, but they're doing a live show hosted by comedian Neil Reddy. Steph, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, I remember Neil Reddy.
Funny stand-up comedian. He's the MC and the host. It's June 25th. And if you want to get tickets or find out more about it, you can go to amphitheater.org. You better know how to spell amphitheater. I had to look it up. So we're going to post on Facebook a chance for you, Radio Labyrinth listeners, to win a pair of tickets. I have 3 pairs of tickets to give away. We'll post it on the Facebook page. And at random on Monday, I'll pull the names. And if you really want to go, just say, I'd like to go. So does that sound easy?
That sounds pretty damn easy.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. So I'll pull in winners. We'll put that up on podcast. We'll put it up there Saturday. And then you get a chance to go ahead and pick. And then go down there to Pastry City, watch an improv show.
I think you ought to make them cornhole for it.
Yeah, bring your cornhole game.
How come you're not allowed to give away tickets on WSB? It's a radio.
Because there's a legal, and this is for all radio stations. When you do a giveaway, and this all goes back to Enron. When you're a corporation who does a giveaway, you have to have legal rules. You have to have them posted. You have to have approval. And usually it has to be a client who's spending money. And in this case, I reached out to them and you know, brought them in because I want to interview people. Actually, it came from a listener named Todd Elmore, who's quite involved in stuff like that. He's a good guy. But you just can't do it. I asked, you know, but there's a legality that's involved. Okay. But this is different. So
I remember the first time I won something from the radio. I was 16 and it was in the morning before school, and they had the morning show, and you had to call in, and there was a trivia question, and the answer was Lou Gramm, and I knew that. So I called in. How 80s is this? So I call in, I win, and it was dinner at Rocco's Restaurante in Charleston, West Virginia. But the 80s part of it is they used to play the morning show over the speakers at school in the morning. So when I got to school, everybody heard me on the radio because it came through the PA system.
Oh.
You know, some serious 1980s shit.
That happened to me when I was on Dr. Demento. They made a promo out of it. The local station did. And they were running the promo. And I went to school the following, you know, the Monday after, you know, the Sunday night show. And people were like, "You were on Dr. Demento last night." Oh. And I won a contest on that station. A different contest. I won it, and I think it was dinner in a movie, like a date thing, and I took Jeff.
Perfect.
Jeff had a car.
Well, you know, I didn't get to go because Charleston was an hour away from the podunk town that I went to high school with, and nobody would drive me to go get the damn to get the stupid
somebody with a car to take you to a restaurant.
Hell no. No, drive me all the way to Charleston.
Oh no, wait. The first thing I ever won was on our college station. I won a pair of tickets to see the Psychedelic Furs, and I didn't know who they were, so I just gave them away.
You fool.
Wow. I was in high school, and I would wait for college kids to walk around, and I go, "Hey, you want some tickets?" And
well, that was before they got popular, right?
They were popular. I just didn't know. I was into metal.
Do you remember when you'd be at like Kmart or one of those places as a kid? You guys are a little bit older than me. Dustin probably remembers. And you have the gumball machines at the front that have the band things.
Yeah.
And you put your quarter in and they give you these bands. I would get like, "You too. The fuck is this?" Throw it in the trash. And now I look back at I threw so many in the trash that became huge, huge bands.
That's awesome.
I won a Joshua Tree album at a carnival one time on our class trip, and I ended up giving it away.
Really?
I wasn't into you too.
You like The Cure. That's the first alternative band I remember you getting into.
Yeah, and I was never into you too.
Mm-hmm. I liked you too till about 2004, and then I was done.
Oh, yeah. My picture you being like Tree's a Joy Division fan.
Joshua Tree is their best album too, and I was like, still not into it.
Joshua Tree is their best album. I guess you're right.
Yeah, all the other ones just have a couple of songs that you like on them.
I like Unforgettable Fire, which is the album that came out before that. That's a good album.
I like what's the album with all the, you know, I like Sunday Bloody Sunday. That's my favorite album.
Oh yeah, that's a great album.
Because every time I hear I Will Follow, I always think about the little guy trying to get that abortion.
What little guy?
He's running in America, Last American Virgin. He's running, trying to get that abortion money. And that's like the montage. They play, "I Will Follow." And he's just running down the street, sweating, trying to get this abortion money.
I thought you were talking about some guy trying to get an abortion.
No. He's trying to get that girl an abortion. And then she dumps him and goes back to the guy who got her pregnant.
Some men can have abortion, Steph. I wish you would, wake up and realize.
Yeah, that's why there's that big tampon shortage.
Right.
Oh, right. God. Man. I forgot.
Men.
Because of the
dilation. So glad we have her to sort all this out for us.
Yes. She's smarty pants. And if you don't know who we're talking about, go figure it out. We're not going to bring it up. Before we go forward, because it is Father's Day week, and there's something else we got to talk about. We were going to originally do a segment where we talk about Juneteenth. And what is Juneteenth? Well, it is a federal holiday, and something that Steph brought up, but we all thought about it for a little bit and we're like, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to pick our favorite shows with African. No, we're not going to do that because I mean, it just seems weird. It sounded weird. We thought about doing it, like, no, that's not really what to do. So I just wanted to say a couple things. Look, I'm embarrassed to say that I had no idea what it was originally until about last year, right? So, or maybe the year before. And when I say last year, it's because I'm confused. Everything from March 2020 to the end of 2021 to me is just 1 year.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of the pandemic. Anyway, I think it's a shame that Emancipation Day hasn't ever been a federal holiday until recently. Yeah, it's embarrassing. And it's something we should have all been celebrating since the day the president at the time signed the 13th Amendment. Texas was the final state to get rid of slavery, even after it was outlawed, because it took a very long time for the federal government to get down there and make sure that that stuff happened. And also, Reconstruction was kind of a shit show. Mostly had to do with Lincoln being killed. And then the people who did it after him and the president, Andrew Johnson, who was the first president to be impeached, wasn't a very good president. That said, I've joked on here that I don't like the Watchmen TV series, but there were certain aspects of it that I really found to be compelling and very interesting. And I wish they'd expanded on those more instead of doing like a woke 2021 type of show. But it was namely the bombing of the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, something else I didn't know about. And as somebody who has been interested in history since he was a little kid and is still interested in history, it's just very evident that so many things have been left out because it's not white people. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just being honest. There's so many things that have affected other cultures in our country that are just omitted from the history books when we grew up.
Who invented the cell phone?
What's that?
I said, who invented the cell phone?
I don't know who invented the cell phone.
A black dude.
Alexander Graham Bell.
He didn't invent the cell phone.
No. George Washington Carver.
They didn't make the cell phone out of peanuts. Stop being a jerk. This is an important thing. Seriously.
No, hey. It's very important. I mean, we're fixing to celebrate in a couple of weeks. We're going to celebrate, you know, the independence of our country and the freedom mm-hmm. that we have. But there's a whole section of our population that didn't get that freedom at that time.
Yeah, they wrote the Declaration of Independence. Everybody but you.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody but you. You. But I'm human. Well, okay, but not really. I mean, it's. You can't just say nowadays, well, it was a different time. They knew. They knew that they were owned people, which is why all of Europe said, no, and why it gradually faded in the North, even though the racism never went away. But it went away in the North. And frankly, one of the reasons, probably the main reason, that France and England, who, by the way, wanted to help the Confederacy because it would have been beneficial for European powers to have the United States split up, you know, just was a fact. But because of the Emancipation Proclamation, which came after a major victory, you know, they didn't get involved in the war. But that's beside the point. Really, what we're talking about is, you know, all these terrible things and good things that we didn't learn about in the 80s, maybe not even the 90s. I don't know what they teach in high school now as far as history goes, but and I would love to know if they teach these things because it's important. There are so many different cultures that helped create this country that it would be nice if we learned their history, and that there were TV shows and movies about it, and characters who weren't, you know, just like, you know, the way they do things now, like in Star Trek, they'll have an African-American actress come in and she's the first captain, and okay, that's great and everything. But I want to hear about real people and real stories in these history shows that can be made, and movies that can be made, and celebrating people who built this country up. And it can be from any walk of life. I don't care. You know, just, you know, besides the Northern European people who built the country, you know, it just, to me, makes sense. So think about Juneteenth. I'm going to be thinking about it, and you can find out all the information you want. Maybe we'll find some resources, or Dustin can post some things in the links and stuff, but it's definitely something that I think we all need to really embrace.
And we need to come up with something that's more like across the board that we can all celebrate and not feel like
we're pandering one way or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know, this is what brought this whole thing up with, I do our party planning at work, and I wanted to do something for Juneteenth, but when we started talking about it and you look it up, I mean, it's like you can, it's not like you can have a cake with, like, you know, breaking your chains or some shit. I mean, that's weird. And you can't, like,
you can't get that Juneteenth ice cream from Walmart anymore.
Is that a real story?
Yeah, it was very real.
What was it?
Roy Wood Jr. got Walmart to cancel that ice cream.
Why did they do it? What was the flavor? I mean, what was it all about?
Like red velvet cake.
Yeah, it was red velvet cake swirls or something.
It's supposedly, like, things are supposed to be red for the thing to represent it. But then, and this is what I was saying, is as a white person putting this together, and I'm giving my black coworkers red pop and watermelon, it's not, you know, yeah, that's like some of the foods that you serve. And it's not, you know, you can't really celebrate that all together, because all Whitey's like, I don't want to, I've been told this is bad. I'm not supposed to do this. And I talked to this with a couple of my friends, colleagues at work. And when I told them, you know, like, what are we supposed to do? They were like, you don't, just leave it the fuck alone and let's celebrate 4th of July.
Really?
Yes. They agreed, like, just leave it alone. Just, you're not going to want to do that. So
it just puts you in an awkward position, and it's understandable, but still,
yeah, I mean, like, 4th of July is like, boom, it's barbecue foods, it's red, white, and blue, it's very clear cut. So that's what we need, is like something like, give me some, we need a flag, we need some crap where everybody's just, I don't know, something where the food is not traditionally something that people have said that's a stereotype food, crap like that.
Time machine to go back and make all these white assholes who wouldn't celebrate any of these things 150 years ago can stand up and take notice. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's terrible. You to learn about something that you should know about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, Paul Revere, the British are coming. The British are coming. Boy, would that take an hour?
Yeah. Well, it didn't happen to us, so it didn't happen. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're reading those damn Harry Turtledove books. You don't learn any real history.
I only learned the fake history.
Yeah. I appreciate you doing all that, though, Tim, and really talking about it and everything, because I think it's an important holiday, too. I think we all feel that way. We just didn't know exactly how to go
about
it. We didn't
want to pander with it. Who's your favorite? I don't even want to say it. It just sounds so ridiculous.
It does. It was like, after I did it, I mean, it was bad. I was just like, no, this is bad.
I think the best way to celebrate it is, if you don't know anything about it, or even if you know a little bit about it, is to go read about it. But then don't go into work and say, hey, I read about Juneteenth. No,
yeah,
just know about it and wait for somebody to bring it up to you. Don't put decorations in your cubicle and go, I got you some red pop. No, don't do that. Learn and listen. Those are two things that a lot of people don't do anymore. And I think that us older folks, the Gen X people especially, who are like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Well, cool. That's kind of how we've always been. Like, I didn't know that. All right, well, fine. You know,
we're going to have to take up the mantle of, I mean, it's upon us now almost, you know, of becoming the boomer.
Don't worry about it. We don't have to do anything. The older millennials will take care of all that shit. We can just fucking float until we're dead.
Skate through it.
That is what, I mean, they got rid of a third of us with abortions. So don't worry about it. Our generation we're set. It's like all of the potential friends we could have had after 1972, gone. But anyway, enough of that goofiness. And I'm talking about the abortion, not the other stuff. Juneteenth, not goofy. But go educate yourself about it. And it doesn't hurt to learn something new, especially something that isn't new. That you're like, oh wow, I never knew about that.
Yeah, if you're from Texas, like my one friend, she grew up around San Antonio. She's known about it her whole life. Mm-hmm. It's always been a Texas holiday. They've always celebrated it there.
Yeah. If you grew up in North Central Pennsylvania in the 1980s, you didn't hear shit about it.
All right. Same in Michigan. Yeah. I never heard anything about it.
Oh.
I only learned about it a couple of years ago. And when on my route, there were all these decorations on mailboxes, but it was only certain mailboxes. And I noticed that it was all the African American families that had it on their mailboxes. And I straight up asked one lady, she's a real sweet customer I've had for years. And she explained it all to me. Like for like 15 minutes, she just explained, you know, what all it was and why it was there. And I was like, that's amazing. I was like, I had no idea. I thought it was something new. And yeah, so it's it's good to learn something about, you know, the world you live in.
It is, definitely. And then it helps you be more empathetic to people.
Absolutely.
So anyway, there you go. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro. We love that Atlanta Pizza in Euro has been a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, and we'd like to thank Mike Hall personally every day by going to his house and just standing outside like he's on the Supreme Court. And we do like everybody else at the restaurant except for Dustin's kid. You can go to Atlanta Pizza in Euro and see their brand new full-color menus with pictures of their food that are now at the restaurant. And you know what? They're sturdy. They're not all wrinkled up and have those creases in them like, you know, poorly laminated menus are want to have. Nothing's repeated twice.
Only the
trying to
stuff.
make your menu look bigger than it is.
Yeah. Hey, put that dipshit in twice. No, I don't know this. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is your summer destination. Weekly food truck events, which you can find out about on their Facebook page. Tuesday night team trivia and craft beers from the local area like Firemaker Brewing's Chattahoochee Tea Southeastern IPA. That comes in cans. Dry County Brewing's Neon Sour, which is on tap, and Burnt Hickory Brewing's Driving and Crying Straight to Hell IPA in cans, just to name a few, which is a good beer. And I'd love to get Kevin on the show to talk about it and other things. So I'll reach out to Kevin Kinney. What do you guys think about that?
Do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Last time I spoke with our buddy Josh Warren. The last I talked to him, he was working on a project or possible project with Mike. So I'm interested in finding more about that. Atlanta Pizza in Euro loves serving their local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank them for all their continued support and business throughout the years. But you don't have to live in that part of Atlanta to get pizza from there. I mean, in fact, if you live in Juneau, Alaska, and you're listening, and if you fly, you could probably get there by another close Sunday. So maybe you get there Monday, have a pizza, and then fly home. I think it's worth it. It's that goddamn good.
I mean, they're so good that they can be closed on Sunday and still retain a shit ton of business.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the glory holes are sealed up, so you don't have to worry. Exist. I have to stop.
You could thank Dustin's son for that.
Yeah.
He was in there with the hammer and nails all weekend.
He told me he has to hermaphroditically seal each hole.
Hermaphroditically?
He just walks around with a trowel and putty all day long.
Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m., Saturday from 12 to 9 p.m., and they are, of course, as we said, closed on Sundays. Mike, thank you for being a good sport. And also, Brett Perkins, you're our new sponsor. I look forward to finding out what you'd like us to say, so we will find that out as soon as possible.
Let's go play team trivia again before summer's over.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, for sure.
I will definitely make it next time. For sure.
Happy Father's Day, Dad! I'm not your father!
It's Father's Day, dear.
Your father is.
Your father's a putz.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
And we're back.
We are back. Isn't that amazing? We're back. I mean, we're wearing the same clothes, so you can tell that we record these commercials every week instead of, you know, just phoning it in. Well, it's Father's Day weekend, and some of us have fathers that are still around. Some of us don't. Some of us has grandfathers that raised us. Some of us have stepdads who were better than Steve Jones's stepfather. If you're watching Pistols, you'll find out why. If you're not, doesn't seem like he was a very good man. Have you watched Pistols yet?
Oh yeah, I'm on episode 6 or 7.
You remember his dad, his
stepdad? Yeah. Oh yeah, the first couple episodes. There's some blue diamond. There's some blue diamond business right there.
Funny fan, something you're good at. Oh,
you lazy sod.
Lazy sod. I'm a lazy sod.
Anyway. This will be your second Father's Day, right?
This is my second Father's Day, yes. And it'll be the 51st Father's Day in which I get to wish my dad a happy Father's Day.
Aww.
And that's cool. We're going to be going out there. Of course, my brother is going to have his third child. He's not, but his wife's going to have their third child So it's a busy weekend for dads.
Your brother can have a third child, though, if he wants to.
Yeah. I don't see how that's possible.
I like to think of my dad as the, you remember the cartoon, the Doggy Daddy? Remember him? Doggy that's my dad.
Okay.
Doggy Daddy.
Doggy Daddy. Jeff's dad, I really liked. He was one of those cool dads that had like all the Playboys and knew a lot about movies and media and stuff, and was one of my favorite professors in college. Jeff, I don't know what happened to you, but anyway.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, your dad was awesome.
And yeah, he was a cool guy.
Yep. And I made him laugh once when I was younger, which was like making one of your favorite comics laugh, which has also happened. But I remember these things because, you know, making an adult laugh when you're making fun of yourself is good. I threw up one night after I drank Chew Spit. And and then a couple of weeks later, Jeff's dad picked us up again. And we drove past the place where I threw up and went to Tim Andrews Memorial Hot Dog. And your dad actually left. But anyway, so we're going to talk about some of the worst. Well, I thought let's be fun to talk about some of the worst dads on TV and in movies. And I wrote a couple down. And of course, we have contributions from listeners. Do you guys have any that aren't on this list? Because I would love it if you did.
Is Tyrion Lannister on there?
No.
That was my contribution.
Tyrion Lannister. Why is he a bad father?
Tyrion Lannister from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know. He didn't like his imp. Killed your mother.
Yeah, he killed the imp, killed his wife. Give him a break. His wife was killed
by a monstrous imp. speaking of an imp, the drummer for this band Superchunk looks like a giant sized
Dinklage.
Yes, I kept saying that because my wife's like totally crushing on him, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's just Peter Dinklage, or like a huge Peter Dinklage.
The Dinklage is fine as hell.
He is a handsome
he's a hot little dude.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. Good actor too.
He gets so much poon thrown at him. His wife is forever just like, no, get back, bitch. She says that.
Really? Get back? Is she a little person also?
No. I think he has a normal size hog too.
4 inches. That's not normal?
No, Tim.
On you, babe.
Oh, I was always told that was the normal size.
You said it was a good size.
I know, you know, one day when Gil's 5, he will surpass you.
What do you mean one day? Anyway, enough about my shortcomings. Some of the ones I thought, of course, right off the top of my head was Walter White, who I was talking to somebody about this today, Greg Rust. We were talking about it. How when I first watched Breaking Bad, the entire run of the series, I'm rooting for Walter White, and Walter White's just, he's doing this for this family. And upon the rewatch, and this is my first full rewatch of it, he's a fucking jackass, a terrible dad, selfish motherfucker, terrible human being. And, you know, at first it's like, all right, I'm going to pay for my cancer treatments and leave a little nest egg for my family, my kids. But, he turns into this fucking jerk off, and I don't root for him anymore. In fact, I'm like, why don't you just die? I can't. I like other characters. I like Saul. You know, Jesse is the person you should root for. Jesse Pinkman, because he's constantly getting the shit kicked out of him, getting kidnapped by white supremacists, being forced to kill people. He has it rough until El Camino, when he just goes off into the sunset.
But you don't give it up to Walt for his redemptive arc, though, at the very end. I mean, he's not a total piece of shit. He
did
save Jesse's ass. Well, yeah. He tried to give stupid Flynn and his dumb bitch wife some money.
Stupid Flynn. Hey, why are you calling him stupid? He's not stupid.
I meant the character.
I know.
And he was never stupid. You know what I mean. Like, just the character is horribly annoying.
Hey, Dad. What happened to Uncle Hank? Why isn't Dad in the house anymore? Mom's being a bitch.
Yeah.
God, I wish I could do that. Because I used to do it. I did it perfectly.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're going to hurt some white chick's feelings if you do that.
Every time Walter White would bring home pizza, it would just end up on the roof.
I know. You didn't know how to bring it into the kitchen. another bad dad, Tony Soprano, the abusive mob boss and murderer. He loved his kids. But there's a couple episodes where AJ doesn't want to hang out with him and he gets all pissy and acts like a teenager. Fuck you. Not a good dad.
You think so? I would have loved to have Tony Soprano for a dad. He gave him everything.
He wanted to be a good dad, but he couldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And Tony's dad was, you know, he loved his kids too, but when you're that kind of person, Tony Soprano was a narcissist and he just cared about himself more than anybody else in that family, for sure.
Tony did better than his dad, though, at keeping his kids out of the game.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
You don't think Tony would have died for those kids? I think Tony absolutely would have died for his kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't say he's a terrible.
But he wouldn't give up his life for the kids either.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah.
You mean the dangers of what he does?
Well, yeah, being a thief and a murderer. They're not good people. None of those mob guys are good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Carmella,
tomato, tomato.
Carmella had an opportunity to get out of it. You know, she goes to the therapist. Goes, take the children and leave.
Go. She's far worse than him. I think Carmella was a way worse person than Tony was because she's so pious and fake and so full of shit. Tony was honest with who he was. This is who he was.
Yeah, she wasn't like teasing Furio to the point where Furio had to leave. You got a bee on your hat, stupid fucking.
And that priest too. Well,
that priest was a douchebag.
Yeah.
I mean, Tony was a complete cheater, and she should have gotten all the ding dong she could get on the side. I don't begrudge her for that, but it's the other shit where she acted like she was so in the church and the me and her.
But she ends up doing the same thing Tony does. She sleeps with his principal so he can get better grades, or his English teacher, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he had to go live with the Belters.
All right, give me a real bad dad here, Tim.
Dexter Morgan is a terrible father. Not only is he a serial killer, he faked his death to abandon his child.
But he did it to save him.
Yeah, he did it for the right reasons, but...
But as we've seen, his son ends up being a fucking nutcase, right?
But that's because he left him with a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, not the best fatherly advice.
But. Well, if your dad's going to be a serial killer, you could do a lot worse than Dexter Morgan.
There we go.
True.
All right. Here's another one. Anakin Skywalker.
Was he ever really a dad?
No. I mean,
for like five minutes.
He was a father. He never saw his kids.
No.
He had to go, you know, get revenge and spaz out and freak out. And kill them.
You can't say the S word anymore, Tim. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
The S word.
What's the S word?
You said the S word.
I don't know what you're talking about. Spaz?
Yeah, you can't say that anymore.
Who says you can't say spaz anymore?
Lizzo.
I don't know who Lizzo is.
Oh, that Lizzo thing? Yeah.
What Lizzo thing? What are you talking about?
She didn't know either. When she did it, was it a post or was it a video?
It's the song Girls on her album.
Oh, okay.
And it says the S word in it, and she changed it. And then now going forward, it's not going to have the S word in it anymore.
Why can't you say that? What is wrong with that?
It's an ableist slur.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, what?
An ableist slur.
Who's an ableist? What's an ableist?
I'm sorry.
There are people that are differently abled.
Don't go down the road. Don't go down that road. Ableist is somebody who says spaz.
Okay.
My woke legend book is almost full.
Listen, I think you're really pushing the boundaries on people's patience when you say spaz is a word you can't say anymore. Stupid.
I know meatballs is going to have to be totally censored next time it runs on TV.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe they won't show it anymore. Well, there's a lot of misogyny in that too. Anakin's a bad father because he cared more about himself and being evil than he cared about his son. He tried to kill his son two times. That's not cool. So
that's true.
And then when he found out about Leia, the first thing he thought, how can I kill her? But anyway, I posted it on Facebook and Twitter. We got some responses. Do you guys have any you want to throw in?
I was just going to say John Bender's dad was a bad dad.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Well,
he gave him cocaine.
He gave him a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah, smoke up, Johnny. But he also burned him with a cigar because he spilled paint in the garage. That's not a good dad.
No.
Has anybody said Jack Torrance from The Shining?
No.
From The Shining, the movie, he was a bad dad. From The Shining, the book, he was a good dad.
But that's true. From the movie, he was a bad dad.
Right.
Or yeah. Arlo Givens from Justified.
That was brought up. Yes, absolutely.
He's Arlo a pretty Givens. Bad dad.
Yeah, that was Roby, right? Binkley said on Twitter, Joe Bluth. Didn't even know he had a kid. And then when he found out, he didn't give a shit.
Job. Yeah.
Yes. What a great show. Mark Gardner says on Twitter, Sauron, he seemed distant from his kids. somebody named Jeff writes, Father Guido Sarducci was so bad he didn't even have any kids.
So like the worst father of all time.
I know he is. Now there's some fathers in Boston who are pretty bad. We've seen that documentary. They're not good fathers. No, sir. No, sir. I say no, sir. Father Guido Sarducci, very bad. And oh no, actually he's pretty good in Godfather 3, even though that's a terrible film. From Facebook, Dean Poole again says, Rodney Dangerfield is Ed Wilson, Juliette Lewis's dad at Natural Born.
Oh, yeah. He was a fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
Make sure you shower. Clean.
Make sure you clean.
I'm going to see how clean you are.
Can you do that, Jeff? Can you do that impression?
Nah.
Yes, you can.
Nah.
Do it. Try it. I want to see how clean you are.
Yeah, I want to see how clean you are.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. These are the shivers.
He's a great father, though, in Back to School.
Oh, yeah, the best.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because he learns that you can't just buy your son's love. You have to go back to college and win the diving meet to win your son's love.
Oh, yeah. Melon.
Mm-hmm.
Melon?
Fuck me. Fuck you.
What was his name? What was the name of his clothing store? Big and Fat?
Was it Big and Tall or Big and Fat?
Tall and Fat.
Tall and Fat.
That's right. You should try my Tall and Fat store. No offense. Is that from that movie? Sometimes I get lines from Back to School confused with some of his lines from Caddyshack. Looks good on you, though. That's from Caddyshack.
Yes, not okay. Easy Money.
No, I can't quote Easy Money. I've only seen it a couple times. I'm the man.
Call me when you're this.
I'm the man. I'm so bad I should be in detention. I'm the man. I know that's from that movie. Kevin Jackson had a couple of nominations on our Facebook page. Walter White, Peter Griffin, and Leland Palmer. Leland Palmer is definitely a bad father.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peter Griffin. I don't know about Peter Griffin. Peter Griffin.
No. It's a cartoon.
He's next to Chris.
Yeah, he hates everything. Yeah. He doesn't care about Stewie. Everybody hates Meg, but he does like Chris. So.
Yeah.
That's a show I haven't watched a new episode of Family Guy in probably 4 years.
I just found out Seth MacFarlane, that he just does the voices for like the last 10 years.
He doesn't write anything
anymore except doing voice.
Yeah, he doesn't create anything on there.
He doesn't write any of it. He doesn't produce any of it. Nothing. He just does the voices.
That gives him time to do the Orville, which is a good choice.
Yeah, it is.
Jeff Lyle, Anakin, Darth Vader. So he agreed with me. Archie Bunker and All in the Family. I have to disagree with that. He loved his daughter very, very
much.
And even though he made fun of and said he hated Mike, he at the end, he ended up loving Mike Stivic as well. And then, of course, Mike ended up being the typical snooty liberal and divorced his wife as soon as he found somebody younger. Tim Allen, Ralph Cifaretto, Joey Pants. He did love his kid, but the kid got hit with the arrow, remember? And then his unborn killed. He killed the.
He beat that hooker that was pregnant.
She was a whore.
Yeah, she was a stripper, not a hooker. Come on now.
Sorry. Stripper.
He killed his pregnant whore. And
that's pretty bad dad. Pretty bad dad.
that scene and the scene in season three where Dr. Melfi gets raped are the two most difficult scenes in that show to watch.
The Melfi thing, I just got to fast forward through. It's too much.
I don't skip that episode because it's pretty powerful when I do rewatches, but I skip right through that.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the guy's just a fucking tool.
Yeah.
Weird looking freak. But we've discussed that before. Why she wanted to keep her. Never mind. She didn't want Tony to kill him because she would have been part of that world. Who else did he say? John Hurd is Peter McAllister in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
Forget your kid not only once, but twice. You leave him stranded in New York City. What a great dad.
Yeah, he's into some shady shit, too, because how do you afford to take 15 people to Paris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that house, though, Dustin. Damn. True. I feel like he must have been he was probably an executive at IBM or something.
Well, he won it all gambling, and then sometimes he owed money to Tony Soprano, so he had... William Trivelpiece says Ramses, Yul Brynner in The Ten Commandments. Yeah, that's pretty much a bad daddy. He had his own son killed. Let it be written, so let it be done. Creeping death. Brian Calden and Robbie Neely both said Frank Gallagher from Shameless.
Oh yeah, he's up there. He's got to be in the top five worst TV dads of all time for sure.
Yeah, he just doesn't care, does he?
No,
he's on a drink on the other end.
Yeah, only cared about himself.
Yep. And Spencer Levorn, I've never seen this movie. Danny DeVito is Harry Wormwood in Matilda.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen that either.
Matilda, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It was a really good movie. It was a book, too. It's
Roald Dahl book, I think.
Yeah. Roald Dahl.
Yep. But he did produce it, and so it's accurate to say he's a bad father.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the closest character to him is the lady that runs the orphanage and Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty much the same kind of character. It was just money for kids.
I mean, somebody's had to have mentioned him as Frank from... Always Sunny, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely a bad dad. But a funny dad. He's a better dad to the kids that aren't his.
I was going to say, yeah, he's not even really their dad.
No.
Right?
Well, that's all I have. Are there any that I left out?
Royal Tenenbaum.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty terrible dad.
Gene Hackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gene Hackman in... Birdcage.
He ends up being redeemed, though.
True. Yeah, he does.
And what about Don Draper? He wasn't a very great dad.
No, neither was the mom.
Yeah, she sucked.
Yeah, she was a bitch. I'm surprised she didn't bang that kid.
I am too. They kept leading it up like it was going to happen.
So, some of the lists I went through. Yeah, we did mention Arlo Gibbons in Justified, and also that actor Raymond J. Barry played the dad in a very underrated early 2000s parody film, or maybe a mid 2000s, Walk Hard.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong kid died.
Love it.
That movie is so fucking funny, and you don't hear anything about it anymore. But some of these lists, they mentioned dads like Al Bundy. I don't think he was a bad dad. He liked his kids, even though.
But Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters.
He wasn't a bad dad. He was just obsessed.
Yeah, he was willing to give his kids up.
Oh, that's his wife. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a terrible dad.
See you later. I'm going to go live in space. I got to go in this ship with these bald aliens.
He wasn't that great of a dad. And What About Bob?
Nope.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And he wasn't that great of a dad in Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Mm-mm. No, he was kind of typecast in those 80s roles.
Yeah.
Red Foreman. I don't think he's a bad dad. He's just strict.
Yeah, I don't think he's bad.
That's my brother-in-law. He completely patterned his entire parenting style after Red Foreman.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's something to behold. I mean, you really do feel like when he's talking to my nephews, what are you doing, you idiot? Get out of here, you moron.
How about Howard Cunningham? He let one of his kids just completely disappear.
Hung himself. They never get into it, but he hung himself. Oh, no, that's from my phony interview where I played Tom Bond.
Many people know that he was committing autoerotic asphyxiation.
I love that. I love that. That was so funny.
Michael Corleone. Carleone, definitely a bad dad. Wouldn't let his son be a singer.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to say any of the mafia people are bad dads.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I've been very glad to have any... Well, my dad's... You know, my stepdad was... He was all right. My real dad is... piece of crap, but I would have loved to have had one of these mafia people as my dad. Would have loved it.
Why is Ted Mosby on these lists from How I Met Your Mother? I never watched that show.
Because the whole show is setting you up to think that he's going one way, like the with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being yanked out, like the rug yanked out from under you at the end.
Oh, there's a yoink.
Yeah.
All right. Don't spoil it. Maybe someday I'll watch.
He seems like a good dad to the kids. Like he's telling them the story of how he met the mother the whole time, but it didn't turn out the way people wanted it to.
Okay. I'll look into that. Yeah. All right. So that's our bad dads. Happy Father's Day.
And that was Bob Saget too, doing the voice. So
that's right. Who is a good dad?
Yeah.
He was a great dad on Full House.
Heard the latest news on the radio. News. We are PRTV, and now for the latest news.
Some news and shit with Sam Elliott. You guys don't mind if I do a little voice here, do you?
It's you got to do the no mustache Sam Elliott.
What's the no mustache?
I don't know. There should be a different voice for when he doesn't have a mustache.
Less of a southern accent type of thing. Like how he looked in that movie where Jeff Bridges is going to has to pick a vice president. Ends up being that lady. Squid Games. Actually, it's called Squid Game. Yeah, Netflix is spending some serious coin on doing a reality series. It's going to have the biggest cash prize in TV history.
Is it worth competing, though, when they kill you?
That's what I was wondering. Are they going to make you like really walk on plates of glass and have a crack when you step on them and you fall to your death? I don't know that I'd want to do that, especially if there's gays.
Of course not.
I wouldn't make it past the red light, green light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I'm drifting into Buffalo Bill. You know what? Hey, you can spend the night in my basement.
Why don't you just do it as Buffalo Bill
then? Wait a minute. Are there any big fat Korean kids? I sure would like to get my hands on that giant sack of money.
What kind of money are they giving away, though? Seriously.
$4.56 million, the same amount that you would win from the game, from the show.
It's like a good deal. I don't know that I'd
put
my life on the line for that kind of money. Although I may have to because I probably won't get anything in Hollywood anymore.
I'll do it if you can just play that game where you got to make the paper land on the one side.
I want to do the one where you cut the cookie. Joker 2 sequels in the works. They're writing the script and getting all the actors and everything lined up. But I found out Lady Gaga is in early talks to join in on the fun to play Harley Quinn.
A musical? Really? That's what they want to do with it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Kind of bothered me too a little bit because, you know, I'm not into musicals.
I mean, it doesn't need a musical. It needs... to just keep going with the way it was going. And
maybe you could fight Batman instead of having Lady Gaga. Here's something. I had to Google Sammy Sheen, and then about half hour later I cleaned up. Found out she's gonna be an OnlyFans model now. Who is she? She's Charlie Sheen's daughter with Denise Richards. And talk about a bad dad. Although Charlie did say this wouldn't have happened under his roof, and that Denise Richards is a bad parent. Maybe she makes too much food.
Yeah. Tiger Blood can't say shit.
Tiger Blood. Well, you know, he did bang Brie Olson, so I got to give him props for that.
She's a famous butthole actress, right?
What's a butthole actress? I mean, she probably took it there. I don't know.
I mean, that was her specialty.
Oh, her specialty was lots of other things, but I don't know about that.
She did a dance for Tim Andrews at in the back of the time. While he was in his underpants. It wasn't embarrassing at all.
It was a diaper, wasn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't there. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
She actually said to him, do you want to go in the back room and have sex with me on camera? And I said, Tim Andrews said, no. it wouldn't take, never mind.
Is it when you went to see that Bukkake shooting? The filming of that Bukkake? No,
completely different. We don't need to talk about that. Oh, here's that story Jeff was talking about when you were mentioning Lizzo. You can't say the S word anymore. And the S word being spaz, because some people got upset with Lizzo. I don't understand that. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Who died? Legendary character actor Philip Baker Hall, who I thought was dead already, which shows you what kind of a prick I am. 90 years old, he made it to. You know him. Most people know him, I would suppose, from Seinfeld.
Bookman.
Yeah, the book cop. And Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he played the doctor. Larry wanted his cell number, and he kept calling him. And Boogie Nights, he's the guy that tries to get Jack Horner to give up shooting video, shooting porn on film and shooting it on videotape. Real creepy dude, but a great actor, this guy. Everything he was in, he nailed it. Just one of those fantastic character actors, and he'll definitely be missed.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
All right, so views and snooze. I'm a nope on everything. I said I was going to views last week, but it is on my list, so I'll get to it eventually. Especially
last week was Bob Saget tribute, which was very good and very moving. It got to me more than the Norm special.
Now this was they had the event at the Comedy Store right after he had died. And this is what they recorded, right? Look, didn't have like a lot of comedians that were there for him.
I don't know if this was at the Comedy Store or at somewhere else.
No, it was in the store. It was in the main room.
Was it? Okay. I didn't recognize it, but yeah, it was very good. And they had like musical numbers and stuff. And Jackson Brown was there and John Mayer. And they played
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey out.
Yeah, it was very good. I recommend it highly if you haven't watched it.
What do we have this week?
This week's The Old Man starts on FX. Jeff Bridges looks awesome.
Yeah, that's a views.
Yeah, that's a views for me.
Yeah, that's a views for me.
And Jerry and Marge Go Large on Paramount Plus. I don't have Paramount Plus, but I want to see this.
What is it?
It's based on a true story. Bryan Cranston is playing a guy who figured out some loophole to win all this money from the lottery. And it's a true story. It looks really good. I like Bryan Cranston. And this looks like an interesting story. Looks like he figures out this loophole to win all this money from the lottery. So he starts taking advantage of it, and they kind of go crazy, and I guess some other, like
Rain someone Wilson's that, too,
and some college kids figure out the same loophole, and I guess they try and cut him out from being able to do it.
It seems like something I would views, but it's not something I'm going to views immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you'd have to view it like on the day it came out, but I want to see it.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
I'll Scratching it. Bad.
Yeah.
Michael McKean, yeah.
So that's a views for me. If I can figure out how to see it, don't tell anybody.
Darn.
And Umbrella Academy season 3 comes to Netflix on the 22nd. That's a views for me also.
Yeah, I'll views it. I want to see how they kind of keep the story going.
It's only a snooze for me because I haven't watched any of the other episodes.
Yeah,
I have a I've got a creepy kid crush on that one little boy.
Oh yeah.
Ashtray.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, there's the kid crush on him. Yeah. But the other one that plays the, you know, he's the grown man, but he's in the child's body still. That kid is such a good actor. He kills me.
Sweet. Yeah, that character's really cool too. Like all the stuff he's been through and
seen. Yeah. It's great story. Yeah, I'm dying to see how they're gonna have Elliot, how they're going to. Yeah. I feel like maybe she went through.
He.
Went, Elliot who?
Elliot Page.
Oh, he's in this?
Yeah, he's been in it as Ellen Page the last couple of seasons, and now he's Elliot.
Men need tampons too, Tim.
I understand it. Mm-hmm. So running out of it. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. And we'll, of course, let you know if we've used or snoozed it next week when we return. Coming up on Radio Labyrinth, we have a Presents coming your way next week. We have Makapuatu from New Zealand. We're going to be speaking with him Friday night. And, of course, he is from Jeff.
Wellington Paranormal, season 3 and 4 start also on the 22nd on the CW and then HBO Max the next day.
One of the funniest shows to come out, sitcoms, in the last couple of years. And if you haven't seen it, give it a view. It's very, very funny. The actors are great. And, of course, it's produced by, who's it produced by?
Jermaine Clement.
Yes. Does Taiki have anything to do with it?
Taika Waititi, he's just a producer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an executive producer. I don't think he was in the day-to-day. Mm-mm. Like Jermaine would direct episodes and write episodes and stuff of this.
So look for that. It'll be Radio Labyrinth Presents. Steps out next week because she's going to be getting some D in the D. And by D, I mean donuts.
That's right, baby.
And so it is hot as fuck. We don't know how long this heat wave is going to last. Probably a long time. We're going to talk about movies set in extreme heat where you can see sweat dripping off or where it's hot and da-da-da. And if you have any suggestions, TV shows, movies for extreme heat, post them in our Facebook page or in the Radio Shack or on Twitter. And don't post them in Instagram. No one's going to see them. Sure. So until next week, Steph, have a good time in the D.
Thank you. Remember, I'm flying first class. So I'll get to tell you my first class experience.
Yeah, you got to do that. Please make sure that you snap your fingers when you need something.
Oh, I will. Keep them coming. Love that. Keep them coming.
Keep that drape closed. I want to see those losers back there.
The unwashed hordes.
That's right.
Steerage.
We'll talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it
in.
Unless you're Obi-Wan Kenobi.